May 21st, 2024. Good morning. I'm Pastor George Goins of Macedonia Baptist Church. What a beautiful day it is. We have definitely got some summer weather here. It's been pretty warm, pretty muggy in the afternoons, but thank God for the sunshine. Thank God for the rain that we've been getting, and I'm just grateful. But it's good. All is good, and I hope you're doing well. We're doing good here at Macedonia Baptist Church, and just celebrated our 168-year homecoming. Sunday, and had a good time. Just had a good time. I am so blessed to be a part of such a great church. The Lord has blessed us with. It's a good, healthy church. It's a church that loves Jesus. It's a church that enjoys people and loves people and helps people. And I'm just grateful to be a part of such a great ministry there at Macedonia Baptist Church. When you think about 168 years that church has been in existence, you can only imagine the people's lives that have been changed in that building through the people and through the Lord and the Lord working in their lives. And it's just amazing to me. I'm just grateful that there was a man who had a vision. There was a man who had a vision and wanted to start a church. And his name was Nelson Porterfield, and his family and some folks that were in the community decided to establish Macedonia Baptist Church. And we're grateful to be a part of that organization here at Macedonia. So we're looking forward to seeing what God's got for us, though, in the future. And he's done some great things since I've been there. I've been there for 17 years. It's just amazing how many years we've been able to be there with these people and to grow with them. And we're grateful and looking forward to seeing what else God's got for us in the near future. We had Jeremy Sutton preached and did just a phenomenal job. He was in Luke, I believe it was chapter 16, the prodigal son, about him coming home and how the father greeted him. And it was very good. Just I appreciate Jeremy and his family. They are an asset to the church. And I know God's got great things for him as well in his life. So he's a good man of God, loves the Lord. So we're grateful for that too. Had some good food yesterday too. My goodness, we ate, and I shouldn't have ate as much as I did, but I sure enjoyed it. There's just so much there, and you want to try everything, you know. And it was so good. The food was so good. We enjoyed that. I was glad to be a part of that meal as well in our fellowship together. So today we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, if you have your Bibles, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And verse 19 through verse 20, actually it's just two verses there. We're going to concentrate on these two verses. And we're going to talk about a problem that we all have if you're born again. And that's called sin that's in our Christian lives. And if you're lost, and then sin is the problem in your life. And you need to have forgiveness of sin. And that only comes through Jesus Christ. And we'll talk about more about that here in the moment as well. We got camp coming up in June. We've got Vacation Bible School also coming up in June. I'll try to get some dates down for you to help you out there. But we're looking forward to some things. Things are starting to get busy at church. We got some activities, some things going on. And I'm excited about being a part of those this summer and seeing what God's going to do through that. In July, we're trying to work out a time in July to have a revival, and so we're working on that. I'll get you more information on that as soon as I can. But I appreciate you listening in. Really do. Listen, folks, we've been on the radio now, I guess, for about 12, 13, maybe 14 years. I can't remember when it was. I think it was 2008 when we started. No, maybe it was. No, maybe it was 2011 or something like that. When we started on the radio, and I really do appreciate you listening in. For those that listen in, that listen to KALT, and of course it was started out as KPYN, and I hope everything works out to where we can get access back to that station again and be back on the radio. But I appreciate all of the guys that are working toward that, as well as keeping up with this on the internet, because it is a tremendous tool to use to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's why we do it, because we want to tell people about Jesus. And maybe there's someone out there that doesn't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Today, you can know Him by simply calling upon Him. He's the one that can save you. Nobody else can. I can't. The church can't. Your good works can't do that. Your baptism can't do that. Only Jesus Christ can give you the gift of grace, of God's salvation. And so you have to go to Him for that. So let me sing a song here this morning. Matter of fact, kind of goes along with the message and what we're talking about. Nothing but the blood of Jesus, okay? And if you know the song, you sing along with us and enjoy it, okay? What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And it truly is only the blood of Jesus that can save you. As we said earlier, before, there's nothing else. There's nothing else. There's no other way. Jesus said that He was the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man come to the Father but by Him. So there's nothing but the blood. And people tend to want to take the blood out of the message of the gospel. And it's the blood. It was the blood that was shed for the sins of the world through Jesus Christ. And if you're lost here today, again, the scripture is very clear that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life, because God so loved the world. He did. I know I kind of changed that up a little bit, but I was trying to make a point. God loves you. He loves you today. If you're lost today and you've never trusted Jesus and you're looking for something and you're not sure what it is, and I can tell you it's Jesus that you're looking for. And all you have to do is call on Him. The scripture tells us that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call on Jesus Christ. Let Him come into your life. Let Him change your life, and He will. He'll change your life and give you the gift of salvation that not even the devil can take away from you. So trust Him today. Trust Him today. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Now, this, of course, this message here is really for the believers, but the lost folks need to listen as well, because, again, it's because of sin that we have this issue of separation from God. And sin, and the definition for sin is that when we disobey God, so if God says don't do it and we do it, then we disobey him. If God says do it and we don't do it, then we disobey him, and that is sin, and it causes a wedge between us and God. And so Jesus came in to give us hope and to give us a way and give us the truth and to give us eternal life, and he did that for us so that we could have this gift of God, this gift of grace. Now, of course, Paul is talking to the church in Corinth. The church in Corinth had a lot of issues going on in the church, and some of it, most of it was sin was going on in the church. You want to kill a church? You have a church that's full of sin. Now, I know that we're all sinners and that we all go to church, and that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about actively being involved in sin, even in the church. And in this case here, these believers were allowing sin to take place in the church. And so Paul is addressing some issues here, but I like these last two verses of chapter 6 when he kind of just brings it down to the point of it comes down to the individual. It comes down to us personally. And this is what he says. He uses this question in the very beginning, what? And it's, of course, a question. And then he says, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? So he asks this long question. Then after he asks that one short question, which is what? As in what he's saying here is that our bodies, after we come to know Christ, becomes the temple of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost comes into us. Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, and he hasn't. He comes in us through the power of the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost. He comes into us, and he dwells in us. So we need to have a good temple for him to dwell in. And then verse 20, for ye are bought with a price, therefore, and he says, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. So what happens is you're bought by the blood of Christ that we just sang about. Jesus died on the cross, spilt his blood for the sins of the world. You're bought with a price. Your gift was free, but it cost him his life. You're bought with a price. So he says that we need to glorify God. Meaning glorifying God means to give God honor, to live for him, be obedient to him. All those things, we need to glorify God, not only just in the body, which is the outward, but also in the spirit, which is the inward. So we need to do that, and which we belong to the Lord. Once we get saved, then we belong to him. So what does sin do to a Christian? Well, one, it before our salvation, we served our own desires. Before you were saved, you were serving your own fleshly desires. And then also we served the devil's wishes. So we go right along with his game plan. So that's before salvation. Now, after salvation, we become a new creature in Christ Jesus. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. So we become this new creature, which actually means a new creation. We become a new creation in Christ Jesus, and all of these old things of our past passes away, and behold, all things become new in our life. So we become a new creation. We also become a member of the body of Christ, which is the church, what we refer to as the church. We're the body of Christ. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through verse 5 gives us a good example of that and how we should live. We should present our bodies as living sacrifices unto the Lord. We are to not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind, as he mentions there. And then number three, and of course in our text, we're going to learn that our body becomes a dwelling place, the temple for the Holy Spirit, as we mentioned. We no longer belong to ourselves, and that's what he said here, which are God. So he said the body and the spirit here, which are God's. We belong to him, and excuse me. And we're made free from sin, and then we become the servants of righteousness, and that's what Romans 6:18 tells us. Then we are bought with this price. You know, it almost sounds like we've become, as becoming a Christian, we lose our freedom and become a slave. But actually, it's the opposite. The truth is, without Christ, we become a slave to Satan and under the bondage of sin, and sin leads to destruction. And Jesus said these words, "Whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin." So now let's look at what sin will cost you. Matter of fact, there's a saying, let's see if I can remember it. Sin will take you further than you want to go. It will cost you more than you want to pay, and it will keep you longer than you want to stay. I believe that's how it's said, and it is so true. It will cost you. Sin will cost you, even in the believer's life, because there's consequences with sin. So what are the effects of sin in the believer's life? Well, sin, first of all, it separates us from fellowship. In Isaiah 59:2, it says, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God." So the word iniquities means sin. And then also it goes on to say, "And your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." So what does it do? It separates our fellowship with the Lord. It's kind of like with a child when you're raising children. You know, when they disobey you, there's a little bit of a wedge or a separation there. Not that you're pulling away from your child, but what it is that there's that disobedience that that they have committed, which causes us a separation of fellowship, you know, that we once had. You know, you think about Jesus when he was on the cross, and it got very dark, and that was the time. You remember Jesus said those words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" It was because he had taken on the sins of the world, and God could not look upon his own son because of all of the sins that he had taken on himself. And that was a separation of fellowship. And it is, it's strong words to digest. Sin becomes a wedge between us. As I mentioned a while ago, when we sin, it becomes a wedge in between our fellowship. It doesn't mean God is leaving us and deserting us. He's not. But it becomes a wedge between. It becomes a hindrance in our life as well. And it can become a stumbling block. What I mean by that is that our testimony is so important. How we live our lives, how people see us, is so important. And if we're living a life of sin and going to church on Sunday, it's not going to have very much of an effect on those that are lost, that are looking at our lives. So it can become a stumbling block in our lives. So sin separates us from fellowship. Sin also destroys the joy that we may have in the Lord. Psalms 51:12, after David had committed that sin with Bathsheba, he was confessing his sin in Psalms 51, and this is what he said: "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." You remember when you got saved? Do you remember the joy you had? Do you remember how in your life you have this joy of God's salvation in your life, and the assurance of it, and the security of it, and the blessings of God? And then we sin. Well, what does it do? It destroys that joy of our salvation. And that's very, very serious, and we don't want to do that. It also, the joy of our Christian life, not just the joy of our salvation, but the joy of a Christian life, going to church, testifying to others about Jesus, the joy of watching others grow in the Lord. It's very important that we have that joy in our Christian life. Listen, folks, we're saved. We have something to be excited about. We have something that we can show our joy is the fact that the Lord has saved our souls, and we are to be the happiest people on the planet because of the joy of our salvation. And then thirdly, the joy of a close fellowship. I don't know about you, but I like to be close to my Lord. I like to be very close to the point that I can feel him. I can feel him holding me. I can feel him carrying me. I can feel him walking with me and being a part of my life. I want that close fellowship. But when I have sin in my life, that has to be corrected, because it'll separate me from my joy. And then number three, sin brings the chastening hand of God. So we talked about that sin separates us in our fellowships. Sin also destroys our joy, but sin brings the chastening hand of God. Hebrews 12:6, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. So as a good father that he is, and we belong to him, and we are his children, the father corrects his children when they do wrong. And he will, and the Lord will. If you've ever been to a good old-fashioned woodshed with the Lord, you don't want to go back there anymore. Why? Because he is a good father. He loves us, and he wants to correct us, and he wants to bring us back into fellowship, where he can commune with us. And of course, chastening may come in different ways, and it does. Maybe through some of the circumstances that we go through in life. Maybe through sickness, disease, pandemics, maybe through death itself. You know, we may have someone that dies in our family. I don't know how many times I've preached funerals of families, and the death of the person makes such an impact on the families that are still alive. And so sometimes God has to correct us in those ways. He chastens us because he loves us. He loves us. He's a good father, and he loves us. And then we see number four, sin can bring premature death. 1 Corinthians 5:5 says, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh. When God's patience is exhausted, then he may bring you home. So it could bring premature death. When a believer refuses to turn from their sins, God may bring you home. It's even, you know, when you think about God's foreknowledge and then also through much chastening, as he has done, and we have just kept on going in the route that we were going in, and conviction that he allows our life maybe to end because he's done all that he can do to try to get us back. You remember that verse in John chapter 10, verse 10, I believe it is, where it says, Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's exactly what he wants to do. And he will. He'll do that. He may not can have your soul if you're born again, but he'll do everything he can to destroy your effectiveness for the Lord. So we need to stop our sinning. We need to stop being a stumbling block. Matter of fact, the scripture in 1 John 5:16 says, if any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life. For them that sin not unto death, there is a sin unto death, and I do not say that we shall pray for it. So it's very important. Understand that, okay? And then we see number six, sin causes God to refocus us. And oftentimes we're chastened because we are got sin in our lives, but sometimes the Lord is just trying to refocus us. He's trying to bring us back where we need to be in our lives. I can reflect even on my own life and think about how the Lord brought me back where I needed to be, because I rebelled against him and I was running from his call in my life, and he had to refocus me, and he had ways of doing that. He knows how to push our buttons. He knows how to do that. Consequences of sin. There is consequences for sin. So even in the believer's life, there are consequences for sin. When we remember, sin leads to destruction. That's what the Bible says. It leads to destruction. And ultimately, that's what it will do. And then, of course, we all bear the scars of sin. Just because God has forgiven us of the sins doesn't mean that we don't feel the effects of sin in our lives. And sin, of course, leads to great sorrows. And as I said a while ago, God knows how to push our buttons. Then we see number seven, sin destroys our testimony, and it does. Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. So it's very important. Our testimony is a very important tool that God can use as our lives to be a witness to other people. They may not pick up a Bible and read it, but they can read the Bible through our lives. They can see our lives and see the difference that Jesus makes in our lives. That's why it's so important that we live the life that we proclaim that we have with Jesus Christ. A lot of people come to church. They live a holy life while they're at church. And then when they get back into the world, they just live like the devil. And that's a poor testimony. And if you're living that kind of life, you need to repent. If you're not saved, you need to be saved. If you're saved and you're living that kind of life, you need to repent of that sin in your life and live the life so that people can see Jesus Christ in you. That's what he told us. Let your light so shine that others may see your good works and glorify the Father in heaven. And of course, so we need to, as a believer, and we live in sin, it's hard to lead someone else to the Lord. Even a husband and wife, if the spouses are living in sin, how hard that would be to lead the other to Christ. You know, a poor testimony dishonors God, and we become dishonorable vessels unto him. Number 8, sin stops Christian growth, and it does. You know, over in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 here, since we're here, let me flip over there. Verse number 1, it says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for the hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and the other said, I'm Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos has watered, but God has given the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are of God's husbandry, and ye are God's building." So again, Paul reminds the Corinthians, you need to get your act together, and you need to stop sinning, and you need to start living for Jesus so that we can work together as a team for the causes of Christ. So it's very important. Sin stops Christian growth. Maturity comes when we are obedient to the Lord through prayer, reading the Word of God, serving, and however He wants us to serve, being faithful, being committed, being dedicated, and being dependable unto the Lord. Sin, as we said, builds walls in our Christian walk, and it does. So that's what sin can do. And there's other things I'm sure that we could come up with about sin, but sin leads to destruction. Remember that. Now, so why does God command us to turn from sin? Well, it's for our own good. It's just like a child, when you're raising a child, and you tell them, don't do that. And they say, well, why can't I do that? Because I know what's best for you. And they may not understand that, but that's the same way. God knows what's best for us, and he wants only the best for us. God does not want us to experience the effect of sin. Sin leads to destruction, as we've been talking about. Sin also brings pain and sorrow. Sin breaks God's heart. When we were disobedient to our parents, it broke their heart. It's letting God down. God wants us to be conformed to the image of his own Son. In Romans 8:29, for whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. He wants us to be conformed to the image. He wants us to look like, smell like, talk like, walk like, act like, everything like Jesus. And God, of course, gives us a way to escape, and He does. We've all been tempted, and it's common to man, as 1 Corinthians 10:13 says. But God also, with the temptation, also makes a way to escape, that we can escape that temptation. Let me ask you this. Is God dealing with you about a particular sin? You know your own life. I know my life. I know where I have my areas in my life where I need to work on. You know what's going on in your own life. Is God dealing with you about a particular sin? What do? We confess it to Him. The Scriptures tells us in 1 John 1:8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But in verse 9, it says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Didn't you say, Brother George, that my sins are covered by the blood? They are covered by the blood. But don't you want a unity in fellowship with the Lord? Get the sin out of your life. Get the sin out of your life. How do I do that? You confess it to Him. You tell Him what it is. You tell Him you're sorry. And you move on. You ask Him, lastly, for strength. Give me strength that I don't go back to that sin. I don't go back to that same old garbage that I have been in, that I get away from that, whether it be using foul language or having an addiction of some sort in your life or whatever it may be. Maybe you're not going to church, or maybe you're not praying like you should every day. Maybe you're not reading the Word of God like you should every day. Then ask Jesus to give you strength that you can correct those things in your life. You know, I ask the Lord to help me with the temptations that Satan's going to tempt me on this day. I ask Him for strength for my flesh, because that's my number one enemy, is my own sinful nature. And then I ask Him to give me strength that I may overcome the peer pressure that I deal with in the world among my peers. And listen, folks, He can give you that strength and get you through it. You can't do it on your own, but you can through Him. And He lives in you. Remember, He's in you and as a temple. You're the temple, and He lives there in you. And He'll give you that strength that you need. You know, we're out of time. I wished I could continue with this. This is a good subject. And we need to get people, Christians need to get back, get right with Jesus and get their focus back on Jesus and serving Christ, being dedicated, committed to Him so that He can use us for His kingdom. You know, folks, Jesus is coming back. He said he was coming back. I believe it with all my heart. He's coming back, and we need to be ready. Let me pray with you. Lord, bless the word this morning. Pray You bless these people that heard the word, that You'll prick our hearts with conviction, that You'll show us, Lord, where we have messed up in life, where we have broken fellowship with You. And Lord, that we may have the strength to confess that sin, and Lord, the strength to overcome that sin, and Lord, move on, and You would use us for Your kingdom. Bless these people. Give them a great day. Thank You again for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, folks, again for listening in. God bless you, and I hope that next week, Lord willing, I will see you again.